opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. If you have a question or want to make a comment to our guest today, we are at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. It's a Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of the month, so that means...
Yay!
Joni's Gilbread and... It's the last Wednesday before
Halloween,
which means
I brought a treat for you instead so you wouldn't give me a trick.
And the treat is?
The treat is that Dracula lived in Live and Good and was in Fairbanks for the 1930 census.
Vasil Dracula.
Yes, he was here.
My goodness.
Yes, I brought the proof.
The count was here.
Well, I'm sure then, that he knew how to count. But
then what's the postscript of him?
Well, when he got citizenship, he changed his name to Sam, and I'm trying to remember what the last name was, but it wasn't Dracula.
He did, Bram Stoker did him no favors.
Yes.
So, we're back to your show today. Your guest figure is...
Grace Lowe, the infamous Grace Lowe.
Significant historical figure, you classify her as.
Yes.
Now, she's born in Seattle.
She was. She was born in Seattle in 1903. And when she was about 20 years old, she got her first job working in the King County's auditor's office. But... You know, that didn't really suit Grace.
That personality, you know.
As we get to know her, that's a little too dry for her.
Man, she was part of a prison chain gang with what that would have been.
Yeah, that wasn't to her liking. So, you know, she ended up coming north to Alaska. And she came up with her, she went to Ketchikan. And I'm not sure where her best friend Evelyn... where they got introduced, if it was in Washington or if it was they were both in Ketchikan, I'm not sure. But by 1924, she's in Ketchikan, and her and Evelyn are pals.
Okay.
And so when you talk about Grace Lowe, you have to talk about Evelyn Greenway, too. And they remained best friends until Evelyn died. Okay. And Grace took care of Evelyn when she died. So they came in 1924. They were in Ketchikan. And in 1926, they decided to come north. And they ended up at the Black Rapids Roadhouse, which Evelyn and Grace ended up owning. And I don't know how that happened. you know, I'm relying on newspaper articles here. Doesn't say how it was they came to own it, just all of a sudden they owned it. And then the next thing you know, Grace Lowe gets married to Ira Morgridge, Morgridge. And she marries him here in Fairbanks. And he was from Cordova and Seward. And they get married, and everything's hunky-dory. And this was in July of 1926. And then they head back down... In 1927, the Evelyn and Grace are going outside and this IRA mortgage isn't with them. You only see that they're married. No, there's really, well, no, he's, did he shows and, up in Cordova later on,
okay,
and then
okay.
eventually he showed up in Golcana,
okay,
and, you know, he was making the newspapers down there, but they aren't together anymore, and for a short time, she went by Mrs. Morgridge, but then she went back to being called Miss Grace Lowe, but I couldn't find a divorce record anywhere. So, and it... You know, so in the winter, she's up here. There's no mention of him. And she was playing basketball. And she formed the city women's basketball team. She at first started out, her and Evelyn, they played for the college. And then they needed someone to play against. So they formed the city women's basketball league. And a lot of the married women in town were on that team.
Okay.
And so they played the college and the high school. And she was quite the basketball player. She was in the news a lot for that. And she was a big point scorer. So you're already getting an idea that this is a competitive person who, you know, she's not meek. She's
no.
pretty assertive.
Yeah.
So she also likes to spend part of the winter going down and visiting family and friends in the Pacific Northwest. And to do that, she would sell, if she needed money, she would just sell whatever she had, rent out her cabin and take off for several months, you know. And so you see her name showing up in these classified ads quite a bit. One other thing that I noticed about her was that she also embraced flying as a great mode of transportation. And you see her listed as a passenger to and from Live and Good and then also from Juneau, between Juneau and Fairbanks.
Hmm.
She flew a lot. And that was, you know, when... She was a resident of Live and Good for many years, and to get there, they didn't have the road. And so the only other way to get there was take the trail, roughly where the road goes today up the Elliott Highway, or you would have to go up the Tolovana River Valley on the Dunbar Trail, which, you know, either way, that would take you the better part of a week walking.
Fairbanks, whatever happens in life, Joni from Live and Good always brings Live and Good into it. And her sweatshirt today is Live and Good Alaska, no services with bullet holes in the sign.
Yes.
So somehow we always tie into Live and Good.
I didn't do that on purpose,
but
I'm glad you noticed.
That's what I'd say on the air, too. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
To keep Alaska's economy moving, we need a leader who will always fight for Alaska's energy jobs. That's Lisa Murkowski. Lisa is fighting to make Alaska the national leader in clean, renewable energy while protecting Alaska's traditional energy jobs. Lisa Murkowski, working across party lines to strengthen our economy and expand Alaskan energy production.
As Alaskans, we're blessed with abundant resources like oil, gas, and renewables. Yet we're being crushed by rising energy prices. That's why I've led the charge for an all-of-the-above energy plan, making Alaska a national leader in renewable energy, investing in wind, geothermal, and hydropower, while growing all of Alaska's energy jobs. With bipartisan solutions, we can lower costs and protect Alaska's beauty.
Lisa Murkowski is for Alaska, always.
I'm Lisa Murkowski. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Lisa Murkowski for U.S. Senate.
So you missed Camper Valley RV showing at the Go Winter Expo? No problem. The Camper Valley RV Show continues from now till November 20th at the Old Kmart on Airport Way. That's plenty of time for you to check out the latest RVs in person. All RVs will be fully prepped and ready for on-site delivery. True four-season outdoor RVs, Prowler, North Trail, Sport Trek, Torque Toy Haulers, Motorhomes, and more with on-site financing up to 180 months. All at the Camper Valley RV Show at the Old Kmart till November 20th. Don't miss it. For more info, visit CamperValleyRV.com.
Fairbanks Urology is announcing Men's Health Day, Saturday, November 12th from 9 to 5, offering free men's health checkup and blood test. Come learn about your health, enjoy refreshments and snacks, and win a door prize. Call 328-0989 to make an appointment. New patients get a free blood test, including PSA for prostate cancer screening and testosterone test, plus a prostate and ED checkup. Men over 50, you need a yearly PSA blood test, and Fairbanks Urology is offering it free of charge for all new patients at their Men's Health Day.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 23. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Daytime highs approaching 16. Tomorrow, chance for snow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio with the lady who claims to be from Live and Good, Joni Skillbred, in the studio with me here, giving a graphic detail of a lady who lived in Live and Good for a short time.
Yes.
Mind in Live and Good.
Who was far more interesting than I am.
I doubt that.
I lived a life full of adventure. So Grace, we're going to go back down to the Black Rapids Roadhouse.
Okay.
In the 1920s, Grace went on a bear hunting trip with Carl Engstrom. And the newspapers were full of stories concerned. They went black bear hunting. They didn't take any food, and they didn't come back. And everybody was up in arms. And then all of a sudden, there's an article. Well, they turned up just fine. And nothing more said about it. It's kind of an odd thing, you know. In 1932, she went back down there. And she took a motorcycle and rode from Fairbanks to Black Rapids. And I'm pretty sure she was the first woman to ride a motorcycle long distance in Alaska.
Yeah.
And she was the kind of woman, she would think nothing of that. I need to get there. I'm going to get there. And, oh, here's a motorcycle. Let's go.
And that's back when the Alaska Territorial Road Commission was going.
Yeah. So she by then, you know, they did have a road.
Yeah.
And she rode the motorcycle. It was cheap transportation, and they didn't have the bridges in, so she had to pay a ferry to take her across the Salchaket and then again the Tanana River. But she did it. And, you know, she made it just fine. And, you know, that most women would go, oh, I couldn't do that. But she saw herself as somebody, well, if some man can do it, I can do it.
If a person can do it, I'm going to do it.
Yes. Yes. And she was a forward-thinking person. So she also was operating a barber shop and a record store at 3rd and Cushman in the Penske building in the 1930s.
Is that now the Lavery building?
I believe so.
Where Art Travelers is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and this was in 1932.
That's on Second Avenue.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So at some point she got it. She was a licensed barber. Her ad said that she was licensed. And she did that for a short time. But she would do, you know, she wasn't a prostitute.
No.
She was not that. And to be a working woman and to take care of yourself and to not be a dependent on a husband
is
a tall order.
She was an entrepreneur.
So she found herself doing things to make money that she
Most people didn't think
she, yeah. So she opened this barbershop and did that for a short time. And then she got into the mining game in Livengood. And she was started out on Gertrude Creek with as partners, mining partners.
In what district?
Ben Dahl and Chuck Douglas. The Livengood.
Of course. Back to Livengood.
Yeah, well, technically, it's the Tolovana Mining District, but with Ben Dahl and Chuck Douglas. And she started mining on Gertrude Creek.
Okay.
And she started actively mining. She was mining. They weren't mining. They were her partners, but she was running the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran equipment. She was in charge of the crew.
With no experience in mining, and here she goes.
Well, isn't that how most miners start?
Yeah. Well, they usually start with a crew that they're working for.
Yes.
She starts mining.
My guess was that she got tired of being hosed because she was a woman and went, all right, I'm just going to run the mine.
There you go.
You know, you tell me that I don't get a share because I didn't do the work. Well, I'll do the work. And I'll decide what share you get. I'm going to guess that's how she got into the game. So she was mining in Livengood. And then the next year, this was in 1934. And in 1935, the papers show her mining partner as being Andy Warwick. And so they were on Gertrude Creek, and part of Gertrude Creek is Glen Gulch, and it's pretty rich creek. Some friends of mine were mining it just 10 years ago. They were mining in there.
Mm-hmm.
So with Andy Warwick, she purchases in 1936 a Caterpillar tractor. And when she purchases this Caterpillar tractor, this was right after there was a fire in Ketchikan in a building that was making illegal booze, because this was during Prohibition.
Yeah.
And it was a good-sized building. Well, it turns out that the building had insurance. And this guy was brought up on charges because he had burns on his arms, like the burns that you get when you set a building on fire on purpose.
Oh, there are specific burns that are associated with that?
Yes, and he got brought up on charges of deliberately setting the fire, but they couldn't fully prove it. And he said, well, I don't have anything to gain because I don't hold the insurance on the building.
Yeah.
Well, the insurance holders were Evelyn Greenway and Grace Lowe, which it turned out in this court case, when you read about it, Grace had not paid her part of the premium, so all the proceeds went to Evelyn, who they were besties. So who, of course, is going to share with her best friend and partner. They were business partners. So Evelyn, I'm sure, gave Grace some of the money, and then Grace buys this Caterpillar tractor.
You know, there's a lot of innuendo without saying there's any innuendo here. So
yes.
Do you think that she financed her tractor by arson?
I think there was an arson, and suddenly she was able to buy a tractor.
Boy, that's a non-answer to an answer that we already know.
Well, I'm talking to a politician. Come on, Dave.
I'm an elected official. Oh, goodness.
So once you get a Caterpillar involved, you know.
You're moving dirt. Yeah.
You know, the more yards, the more money mm-hmm. per hour that you can produce. And she, she's definitely on her way to making some really good money mining. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. So there's a newspaper article about her that was written in 1936. And I'm going to read part of this. And it says, Grace Lowe makes success of placer operations on Gertrude Creek near Livengood. The old belief that mining is strictly a man's game has been rudely shattered by the experience of Miss Grace Lowe of Fairbanks and Livengood. Always a lover of the outdoors, Miss Lowe became interested in mining a few years ago, and how she has, in partnership with Andy Warwick, a full-fledged placer mine in operation on Gertrude Creek, 2 miles from Livengood. Miss Lowe's interest in mining is active. She works in the cut and knows as much about the pay streak, bedrock formation, and best way to handle dirt as any veteran. Proof of the pudding is that the mine is a going proposition. So then it says here that she purchased a Caterpillar tractor during the summer, and she drove it from Fairbanks to Livengood and frequently operates it at the mine. It has been found to be of great assistance. And Miss Lowe is now in Fairbanks, having arrived a few days ago. She may make the trip to the States for the winter months. Now, there's a funny story attached with this.
Okay.
Carl Parker said many years ago that he was walking to Amy Creek, and he came across, it was a real hot day, and Grace Lowe was on her tractor, running her tractor topless. And Carl didn't know what to say, you know. It was a very awkward moment for him.
Yeah.
And Grace, being Grace, looked at him and said, "Don't worry, Sonny, I won't hurt you."
Okay. She's quite a personality.
Yes. But working this mine was a bit of a challenge because there were a lot of hurdles. You know, there was wood shortages. You know, you cut all the wood because everything runs on wood up there. And, you know, there's not a lot of big wood around Livengood. It's all pretty scrubby. So there were wood shortages and water shortages, and then she ended up having to be flown to Fairbanks because she was running a grinder sharpening a tool, and a big chunk of metal flew into her eye, and she had to have that removed. So, you know, things were moving along. She was, you know, she had challenges. If you run a mine, that's one of the things that you find out. It all looks really easy at first, but when you have to really make a go of it, it's like, it's easy at first, but then these challenges will start happening.
And you gotta.
And can you survive it?
Can you get through the challenge and keep mining?
Yes, you have to get supplies, fuel mostly.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. We're going to have some Phil Collins bumper music. I have no idea what this is. Probably better that way. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And we'll be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Joe Biden welcoming Israeli President Isaac Herzog to Washington, celebrating a new maritime agreement for borders between Israeli and Lebanese waters.
This agreement is going to allow the development of energy fields and for both countries, and it's going to create new hope and economic opportunities.
Meantime, another aide to former President Trump is being ordered to appear in a Georgia courtroom.
Former Donald Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is now being told to testify before a Georgia grand jury in Atlanta. That grand jury is tasked with investigating supposed attempts by the former president and his advisors to break election law in Georgia to overturn the 2020 presidential race.
That's Fox's Eben Brown. Right now, a mixed day on Wall Street with the Dow up and the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both in the red. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The running mate of Alaska Republican gubernatorial candidate Charlie Pierce says she is withdrawing from the campaign team and urging voters to support Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's re-election bid. Edie Grunwald was running for lieutenant governor on a ticket with Pierce, but she said Tuesday that recent circumstances surrounding Pierce had led her to decide to withdraw from the campaign team. Pierce is a former Kenai Peninsula borough mayor. He was sued last week by a woman who said he sexually harassed her when she worked as an assistant. A Maine man who was convicted of killing and sexually assaulting a woman in Alaska in 1990 is appealing his convictions and sentences. The Sun Journal newspaper reports that Stephen H. Downs filed a notice of his appeal Monday with the Alaska Court of Appeals. A jury in February found Downs guilty of murder and sexual assault in the death of Sophie Sergey in a dorm on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus in 1993. He was later sentenced to 75 years in prison. Sergey's death baffled investigators until a DNA match using genetic genealogy tracing led them to Downs, who was arrested in 2019 in Maine.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
In this election, lower 48 outsiders are going to try to grab Alaska's Senate seat.
Lisa Murkowski's right. Lower 48 outsiders want Lisa reelected, so she'll do whatever the D.C. establishment tells her. It's why Mitch McConnell is spending millions of dark money spreading lies about Kelly Chewbacca. After 21 years in the Senate, Lisa Murkowski changed. She used to represent Alaska, but now she's controlled by Joe Biden and D.C. political insiders like Mitch McConnell. That's why Murkowski voted to kill Alaska energy jobs and confiscate our guns. Lisa Murkowski isn't working for Alaska anymore. She is working for the D.C. establishment, her Democrat allies, and the dark money groups funding her campaign. Why is Mitch McConnell so scared of Kelly Chewbacca? Because Kelly Chewbacca won't be bought or bullied by Washington. Chewbacca will always fight for Alaska, and that will never change.
I'm Kelly Chewbacca, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Kelly for Alaska.
Changeover season is just around the bend, and what better way to celebrate than by cruising into Alyeska Tire for a new set of Nokian winter tires. We're proud to carry some of the most popular premium tires on the market. Models like Nokian's Hakkapeliitta R4, the Hakkapeliitta 10, even the Hakkapeliitta 10 EV. We see you, EV drivers. Alyeska Tire, we're always with you.
For more than 40 years, the Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic has taken care of the Fairbanks community. From the thousands of patients cared for by our team of medical professionals to the nonprofits and community programs we support and sponsor, we want to make Fairbanks the best it can be. We're open and ready to serve you right now for any ailments of the head, neck, ear, sinus, or throat. To book an appointment or to find out more, you can log on to FairbanksENT.com or call 456-7768. Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic. Building community. Helping people. Changing lives.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm part of a typical Alaska family. We fish on the Kasilaf, hunt off the Denali Highway, and work here in Anchorage. It's why I'm glad Mary Peltola is representing us in Congress. Just like Don Young, Mary's been a representative for all of Alaska, working with both parties to create jobs and develop our natural resources, like the Willow Project. And she's continuing Don's work on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Bill. Don even brought Mary to D.C. as an expert witness on Alaska's fisheries. Mary is a lifelong Alaskan who hunts and fishes, she's a gun owner, and believes in personal privacy, especially with reproductive health care. She thinks that's none of the government's business. Please vote Mary Peltola for Congress. She's pro-fish, pro-family, pro-jobs, and pro-choice.
Paid for by Vote Alaska Before Party. VoteAlaskaBeforeParty.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Vote Alaska Before Party is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Joni Skilbred, and we're talking about, I don't know if it's the infamous or the notorious.
Infamous. Gracie Lowe from Live and Good and Fairbanks. And
running around on heavy equipment naked. I mean, just with her top off.
Well, that was a story Carl Parker told.
Okay.
I do have to say that, you know, when I lived in Live and Good, even though Grace wasn't really around there anymore at that time, she was still alive.
Yeah.
The men there used to talk about her. And they didn't always talk about her in a nice way. And I always thought that was odd. I remember hearing, and I thought, why do they talk about her that way? Who is this lady? And so, you know, I've always been interested in her. And they did that because she was a threat to the societal norms. You know, she would do men's work.
I thought,
and that was frowned upon.
I thought maybe it was because she was involved in so many lawsuits.
Well, that comes later.
Oh, that comes later. Or I thought that was next.
So what I have next here is, you know, so Grace is a miner. She's a full-fledged miner.
Mm-hmm.
She's running the mine, and she's running the equipment, everything. And she wrote to some friends down in the States, and there was a quote in a newspaper article about what she had written about her life as a miner, a female miner. And she said, quote, "It's a fascinating, nervous life. And something's bound to go wrong every day. But if you ever get the mining bug, you'll stick with the game, and I like it." And that's what those were her words, what she had to say about it. But you can tell that first line, "It's a fascinating, nervous life." It's all or nothing proposition when you're gold mining, and that doesn't matter what sex you are. I've been around gold mining for many years, and, you know, the best laid plans can just
come
go
apart.
Right out from under you. You know, you have to get fuel. Your equipment breaks down. The pay streak changes. Creditors come flocking in and say, "We want our money now, not after your cleanup." You know, there's a lot of challenges to doing that. And for her, it was even more difficult because there were a lot of men who didn't really approve of what she was doing.
A woman in mining, yeah.
That's right. That's right. She did have some supporters, and then others, you know, they viewed her with disdain,
mm-hmm.
you know. So anyway, she ended up getting a pump. So she had a Caterpillar, and then she had a pump, and that all worked really great for her. And then the lawsuits started coming in. Right before that happened, they had gold tax that you had to pay. We were a territory in those days, and you had gold tax that the federal government had started to excise, you know, leading up to the war. And so in 1939, there was Senate Bill Number 5 to reimburse her just short of $150 because she had overpaid her gold tax. She wanted to be sure to get it paid on time, and she paid it early before the amount had been decided. So she paid too much, and they had to have a Senate bill to reimburse her what was owed back to her. So she must have done pretty good if she had $150 coming back from this gold tax, which represents just a fraction of what she would have made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Luther Hess.
It sounds like she was confident in herself, too.
Very.
Of how she was going to be mining because she. Yeah.
Yes. So Luther Hess was involved in a lot of Live and Good mining properties. And, you know, they were talking about bringing a dredge in and everything else. And you want to consolidate ground and all of that. And anywhere that you have mining claims, you have disputes. And lawsuits fly back and forth amongst claim owners. I mean, that's always gone on. It still goes on today. And so Luther Hess sued her because they had a partnership interest in these mining claims. And he wanted to sell them, and she did not. She wanted them partitioned. So this lawsuit goes to court, and Judge Pratt ordered that the claims be liquidated, and they can divide the money. So she kind of lost out on that. I mean, she's going to get her money out of it, but she kind of lost out on that. And when you sell properties on a court order, you usually
don't
get the highest or best price. Yes, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1940, now you got to remember, she was partners with Andy Warwick for, 5 years, mining on Gertrude Creek. He wasn't there all the time with her, but they had this relationship. And So all of a sudden, she sues him.
Again, the way you say the word relationship.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact nature of it, but she files a lawsuit and sues him for $100,000 for breach of promise because he went to town and got married. And she said he had promised to marry her. And that was the value of that broken promise. And she sued him. Now, I couldn't find in the newspapers what happened with the lawsuit. I found a couple of articles, and this went all over the Alaska newspapers, of course. You know, she sues this guy for breach of promise. But I never could find anything that said what happened as a result, which leads me to think that it probably was either thrown out of court or they ruled in Andy Warwick's favor and said he doesn't owe her anything because it stopped being a story. But she's pretty gutsy to do that. So then also in 1940, she starts this downward spiral of events. Her cat, she was working on it here in town, and it caught on fire. And the fire department came, and they got the fire put out. And it was in the wintertime, and she's going to drive it back up to Livengood. Well, she gets up about 8 miles up the Steese Highway, which turns into the Elliott Highway. So 8 miles Steese Highway, somewhere up by Fox, and it ran out of fuel. And she was pulling two trailers with the cat full of supplies, and she had to leave it sitting in the road. Well, in the meantime, overnight, a couple vehicles hit it. And one guy ended up in the hospital, and she ended up getting sued over this because she abandoned that without any lights, hazard warning, or anything. She just went back to town to try to go get fuel. So that ended up costing her some change later on. There were subsequent lawsuits about that. She also was sued by some miners on Amy Creek because she was using all the water, and they sued her for the water rights, and she lost that suit. So she's out of the mining game in Livengood because she doesn't have enough water. So she ended up quitting that, and then she got sued by Gus Conrad, who was handling the estate of Charles Thompson and his wife, their estates, and they had to liquidate all this stuff. Well, part of what was liquidated was a whole bunch of shares, $8,000 worth of Healy River coal stock. And she was the winning bidder. But because of these other suits and problems, she didn't have the cash to pay him. So he sued her for $8,000 and won. So now she's behind the eight ball even more. So during the war years, you know, Evelyn and Grace operated a store here in Fairbanks, probably on 3rd and Cushman, out of that old space that she had. Mm-hmm. And I don't have access to war years papers, so, you know, I don't know what happened in there. But by the late 40s to 50s, you can see she's struggling monetarily because she starts getting in the delinquent tax notices in the newspaper. And during the 1950s, she started mining again, and she was mining at Eureka, which is in the Rampart Mining District up the Elliott near Manly Hot Springs.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Alaska, maybe the 49th state, but we shouldn't be 49th in the country as a place to do business. But that's how bad Alaska's economy has gotten under Mike Dunleavy. On economic growth, we are nearly dead last in the country. Dunleavy has killed thousands of jobs. He's mismanaged Alaska's fiscal crisis, cratered our education system, and gutted critical construction and infrastructure funding. Dunleavy's incompetent leadership put Alaska's economic recovery at 49th in the country and nearly destroyed our ferry system. It's not just embarrassing, it's hurting families and forcing us to flee the state in record numbers. To rebuild our economy and restore strong leadership, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th. Bill Walker's economic plan will generate jobs, lower prices, and bring more affordable housing and childcare to Alaska. Bill plans to bring $2 per gallon fuel to Alaskans, because in the state that produces so much oil, we should be paying the lowest energy prices, not the highest. To put Alaska first, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th.
This communication is paid for by Walker Dragas for Alaska.
Have you ever tried drinking honey through a straw? When it gets cold, and it will, the oil in your vehicle is about the same thickness as honey with your oil pump trying to get that thick goop up to the top of your cold engine. This causes friction and wear on engine parts. A complete winterization like the one offered at Expressway Auto will heat that engine oil, making it flow. You'll get a complete winterization that includes a block heater, transmission pan heater, battery trickle charger, and oil pan heater, all connected with a freeze-proof Arctic-grade cord. Get your car or diesel truck ready for winter at Expressway Auto. Call 888-659-0631 today and beat the winter rush.
Hi, I'm Click Bishop, candidate for Senate District R. Building Alaska's future means bringing high energy costs down. It means cheap energy for all Alaskans. Let's tap what we already have right now: natural gas, hydro, wind, solar, geothermal, and more. Increase power cost equalization to a 1,000 kilowatt hours a month. Cheap energy for all Alaskans. I'm Click Bishop, and I would appreciate your vote on November the 8th.
Paid for by Click Bishop for Senate District R.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 23 today, under cloudy skies, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for snow, lows level off around 8 above. Chance for snow tomorrow, highs around 16, cloudy skies expected. Temps below average Friday and Saturday, with highs in the mid-teens. Chance for snow Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And before we go to our program, a shout out to Joni's dad.
Hi, Dad.
Very great Alaskan, wonderful person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. He put up with me all my life. He hasn't kicked me out yet.
We're going to canonize those canonization for sainthood.
Yeah, I think he might deserve it after me and my brothers.
There you go.
So we've been talking about Grace Lowe, and one of the things that she is the most remembered for and famous for is she sued
Ted Stevens. Multiple times.
Yes, she did.
They had a spat.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I've already laid out, she was a competitive person.
Yeah.
You know, she's a bring it. You know, you dare to say it, you bring it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to up it.
I shall fear no evil.
And Ted Stevens is that kind of person. And when you put two people like that together, things can get ugly, and boy, did they ever.
So what happened?
The early 1950s. Well, Grace, she had her house, and she was running, she was renting rooms because she was always having to struggle to make a living, mm-hmm. you know. And so she was renting rooms out, and she rent a room out to this lady, and then the lady moved. And Grace was upset because she was missing a lid to one of her pots and pans.
Mm-hmm.
And as a person who has had to cook in a kitchen, it is not easy to replace lids on pots and pans, and especially back in the 50s in Fairbanks. And, you know, good luck trying to get a new lid. It is actually an important thing. So she wanted her lid returned. And this lady is like, well, I don't know where it is. I don't know what happened, giving her the runaround. Well, in the meantime, this lady had just recently moved out. The mail carrier comes and delivers a package for this lady. And it's Grace's address, but it has that lady's name on it. And Grace accepts a package, and she decides to hold the package hostage. Get me back my pan lid, and I'll give you your package. Well,
that's
the letter carrier
decided
that was mail fraud and reported her. And the next thing she knows, Ted Stevens, who was the district attorney here in Fairbanks, orders a seizure of the package. So they go and they confiscate the package, and she is up on mail fraud charges. And she said, all I want is my pan lid, and I didn't break the law, and you don't have any right to do this. And Ted Stevens tells her, well, you know, this is mail fraud, and I don't care what you think about it, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you're going to do, and if you don't do that, here's what's going to happen. Typical visit to the DA's office, you know. Well, she was really offended by that, and she said, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to sue you. She fought the case, and she took it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And so Ted Stevens had to get on an airplane and go to San Francisco to go to the Ninth Circuit Court and testify and defend himself on her accusations that she was being treated unfairly all over a pot lid. And in the meantime, all the cases, the court cases in Fairbanks, were coming to a standstill because the DA was out of town defending himself against Grace Lowe in San Francisco. So he was pretty angry. And she, the Ninth Circuit Court said that there wasn't a case for mail fraud. And so they exonerated her on that. But she still had the slander, defamation, and blackmail charges against Ted Stevens, which the court said that they didn't think there was any evidence of that. Well, she kept resuing. And finally, Ledessa Nordale was the circuit judge who had to hear these. I mean, it came down to, is a federal district attorney held accountable for intimidating, you know, a defendant, or saying things that might end up coming to harm the defendant's reputation, you know, and that. So then ultimately the court decided, no, that he should be exempt from that. So Ted Stevens did eventually win the case. But for many years, you did not want to say the name Grace Lowe. And later on, as he started moving up the chain of command, he took a job in the Department of Interior, and he got called into Eisenhower's office and got questioned about this because it was a stain on his character. So then he decided that because of that, he was going to sue Grace Lowe again over this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes, and in the end, you know, she never got a break again. She was harassed by the authorities for a lot of stuff. She filed a suit against an ex-Kodiak police officer. She sued him for assault after she served him papers while he was tending bar in a bar downtown Fairbanks. And she served him the papers, and he got mad and escorted her out. And she said he escorted her out by the throat. And everyone in the bar said that he had her by the arm. So, you know, it's anybody's guess who told the truth there. She was here in Fairbanks, and all of this took place during the 50s. You know, one of the things, she went on a trip she rented a car, and she had some stuff stolen out of the car. And there was this big article in the Seattle papers, and she sent this letter to the district attorney there, and she wanted her property returned. And it was a very detailed letter, and she was missing some nuggets, and she sent attached tape to the letter a nugget. Another nugget that came from the same creek, and she said it will look just like this because you can tell what creek they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, in the list of stuff was a set of earrings, a beige rose jacket, and a black taffeta can-can skirt, and she wanted all of those items returned immediately. And she wanted him to get off his butt and find them. So I don't know why she had a can-can skirt in Seattle in the 50s, but she did.
Yeah.
So then she got into another scrape. She had some mining claims at the mouth of Fairbanks Creek, and she got into a suit, you know, the USSRM, United States Refining and something smelting company, wanted that ground. You know, they were trying to consolidate a lot of the ground down around there. And so it ended up that they said she hadn't done her assessment work. So she lost the interest in those claims, which would have turned out to be quite valuable, which was unfortunate for her. So the last scrape that I found her in was where the Steese Highway runs past the Clay Street Cemetery, right mm-hmm. where the bridge is, mm-hmm. there between 10th and 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
Runs over the river.
Yeah.
Well, there was an island there, and it was called Rabbit Island, and that's where Grace's house was at. And when they went to build the Steese Expressway, they eminent domained her property, and she was down in the States, and she had had a stroke. And when she got back up here, territorial government, anyway, they took all of her stuff. They got the movers in, packed everything up, put it in storage, and they were going to confiscate the house. And she said, no, you're not. So she fought on that. Of course, she lost. And she finally ended up her last day. She was at Sandvik Apartments. And the last thing that I could find about her, other than her death notice, was something that Alaska Link wrote in the newspaper. She had a little weekly column. And she said, shopping the other day, I ran into that well-known mining lady, Grace Lowe. She is still limping from her stroke suffered when her Rabbit Island home was condemned for the Steese bypass. White-haired now, her features are unchanged from the time she, together with pal Evelyn Greenway, played on the town basketball team. Ours was the Fairbanks High School team, and our third competitor was that of the Alaska Agricultural College and the School of Mines. Sometime I'll give you a rundown on these intrepid gals who played boys' rules until, in later years, they were forced to adopt the much slower girls' rules.
Joni, thank you very much for the story of Miss Lowe.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh.
And I have to. I also have to give a shout out to Nancy and Russ Osborne down in Montana. They're listening.
You have
yes.
fans throughout the nation.
I do.
That is great to hear. So what are you thinking about for our next November?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I haven't got that far.
Any plans for Halloween?
Yes, I will be over at Pioneer Park at the Tanana Valley Railroad Museum. They have Engine 67. The park got their train fixed, so there will be train rides.
Fairbanks, you have a great day, and be out at Pioneer Park this Saturday.
This Saturday.
What time?
I think it's noon to 7.
You have a great day, noon to 7, and we'll see you later.